It's Tuesday, October the 9th, and it's time for Campus Connection. There's school district board members, school officials here to talk about what's going to be happening at the school board meeting tonight. In the studio, I have Superintendent Erica Kluepainter joining me, as well as board member Sarah Holmgren. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. So tonight is a regular meeting of the board. It's the second meeting of the school year, and it's at 6 o'clock. That was changed a few months back. It doesn't start at 7, it starts at 6,
mm-hmm.
But it's still happening in the high school library.
It is.
Yeah,
it seems to, of course, I came skating in barely in time last week, but or last month, but I think it was nice to be done a little bit earlier in the evening,
mm-hmm.
you know, for most people.
Yeah, sometimes the meetings go a couple hours, and mm-hmm. then it's 8 o'clock and not 9.
Right.
Absolutely.
So for the meeting tonight, we had the local municipal election. The school board stays the same, though, member-wise.
Yes.
Nobody new was elected.
Correct. Yeah. We'll still do an election of officials.
Okay.
And it sounds like it's one of those few times that we can talk to each other outside of school and say, anybody interested? And I think, we'll see tonight, but I think everybody's just pretty much interested in the status quo. But, you know, that's what elections are for.
You mean for president and secretary-treasurer, kind of thing?
Yeah, I would anticipate that. But it's, people can nominate and change that tonight if they want to. So there are no strong feelings on this board about that.
Well, currently the school board president is Mara Litovsky.
Right. And she's gone right now, so I'll be running the meeting tonight. And I'm vice president. And then Cheryl Fahill has been the secretary mm-hmm. treasurer.
So somebody's going to nominate her for president,
yes.
Mara, while she's gone.
I think I can, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's what happens when you're gone.
Yeah, I think that happened to me one year.
It did happen to you one year.
She's doing a great job, though.
Okay. And then also there'll be committee assignments. What's that like for school board members? What are the what are those?
Sometimes
committees?
It's your interest level or even your background, what you do in the alternative world of your mm-hmm. your real life or outside of school. So sometimes it's just what your interest level is or background or just you want to learn more about it or mm-hmm. so and it's just an opportunity sometimes to rotate so we don't all stay in the same committees all the time. So then you learn a little bit more about how things work.
So these are extra meetings in addition to the school
Correct.
Board meeting. They're extra committee meetings, and then mm-hmm. the school board members bring that information back to
right.
the
Right. And sometimes it's just even being like curriculum. I can think in the past when I've been, when they were mm-hmm. picking math, I think that was the most involved one I was, where I just went and listened. Because to be honest, I don't know what kind of math program students should be. I'm hoping the teachers and the principal and the experts that they reach out to on what's the best math program for the district, but it's to listen and hear how it's actually decided and to be aware of that and then to be able, and it's for the board to know that at least someone on the board is listening to all that so that it isn't, that there's some confidence when they come to us and say this is the program we want to purchase. And, you know, we usually do a work session too for that, but mm-hmm. it's just more of... so that we're on committees and know if there's at least one eyes and ears to hear concerns or methods or mm-hmm. decisions, that where they think they're going toward. So mm-hmm. even if we're not, don't know much about the subject matter. So,
well, how long have you been on school board, Sarah?
I think 9.5 years.
Nine
It'll
and
be
a
10,
years.
I think, in February.
I know you've been the president before.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. And then vice president for a while, too, before that, and then back again. President takes up even more meetings than a regular board member. And so I didn't feel like I could fulfill that. I was doing a lot of things poorly.
Oh, so, she was not.
So Mara was gracious enough to take over the reins. But, it's been a long time, and my term will be up in a year, and I'm hoping someone else might want to step forward at that time. But, again, it's kind of like it was a year ago that if no one is willing to do it, then I'll probably keep chugging along. But I certainly don't want to step in the way of someone wanting the opportunity to do it. So.
Yeah, we're grateful for her years of service and support. She's awesome.
Thank you. But, yeah, I've enjoyed it, and I would still continue to enjoy it, just if someone else has got more energy.
Well, looking at the agenda your whatever meeting it is, probably 200th meeting or something.
I'm not sure.
There are a couple presentations by students, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at those presentations that the students will be doing, one is the Northern Nights Theater Mm-hmm. And I can't say that I've actually seen them present. I know they have a relationship with the school district, and they kind of look at their what they're doing on an annual basis, but I haven't actually personally seen a presentation myself, so I'm kind of excited about that and just to learn more about mm-hmm. the group. What can you share with people who maybe will miss the meeting tonight?
About that relationship.
Yeah, about that relationship.
Well, it was, and I had to kind of know about the history too, and actually Sarah might know more of the specific history, but there was a grant process years ago where there were like 10, I think, of these, or 12 in the state where they were looking for student-run
nonprofit,
entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. nonprofit-type, you know, adventures. And I think there were even a couple other movie theaters. There might have even been a couple other movie theaters.
It was a coffee shop by a student that was run. It was...
Mm-hmm. And so they were sort of around the state, mm-hmm. and then, but this is the only one of those programs that's actually sustained itself and is still in existence. So it's the only one of those original 10 or 12. So yeah. It's kind of a cool, I think it speaks well, you know, to the kids and to also to the management, the adults that help run it. And there is an adult board as well, but there are kids on that board as well. So, I mean, it's very student student driven. And then was it 2 years ago or three where there was a pretty big community effort to upgrade mm-hmm. The system to the new to the digital system, because they really they were getting to a point where they weren't going to be able to show movies here anymore because of the older system. So there was a pretty big community fundraising effort there, and the school did participate in helping with that, but the community really stepped up because it was like $60,000 or something.
Cheap,
I mean, it was a pretty extensive upgrade, but it's been amazingly well worth it, I think, and you know, really a credit again to the community. And they actually, the theater itself has become pretty self, I mean, well, it is self-sustaining, and actually did have enough, you know, money that they had brought in, that they were the ones that actually helped recover the seats in the auditorium a year and a half ago. I think they put money toward that because it was, you know, we share that space and they clean the space and we clean the space and we use the space and they do and we share the screen and anyway.
Yeah, and the whole community, I mean, if you go to a kids movie sometimes, it can be pretty crowded.
Yes, exactly. You know? It's a place to be.
Without that teen group or the teen business, the mm-hmm. nonprofit business, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know that there'd be a theater in town.
Mm-mm. Right, years ago it was owned, privately owned, and then... we're Coastal Cold Storages now, but it's, you know, long since gone, and I think we'd have it'd be pretty rough in this town if we didn't have access to a movie theater.
Yeah.
For a lot of the kids, as well as just young adults and adults.
Mm-hmm. And it's employment, too, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. students who are, the teens that are working there during the movies, you know, selling tickets, and then there's the concessions. Mm-hmm. They're actually have a job.
Yep.
They're making money.
They do. And they're very involved in the, you know, the ordering of supplies, and you know, they learn about kind of running, you know, what it
a
takes
small business,
from
basically.
Yeah, from beginning
mm-hmm.
to end. You know, you have to purchase certain things, you have to, you know, you have to have enough people that are working there that night, you need to be responsible and show up on time, and you know, all
and
of
they
those.
Come over to KFSK and do previews of the movie.
Yeah,
they record
that's right.
little previews so people know what's playing.
Yeah.
And then there's also that sign over by Hammer's Grocery or on Hagen Drive.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
right. They helped, didn't they contribute to that
they
too?
Did.
They helped
did.
Pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
a
that
portion
was
of
a
it.
Half kind of a deal that we did with the school district and Northern Nights, and then so there's an agreement about sharing the sides, you know, of who can put on what side.
Mm-hmm.
And
the movie advertisement or mm-hmm. the activity advertisement.
Yeah, you know, there's often sports events that are kind of advertised there, you know,
yeah.
the what team's doing what, and then also the movie previews.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. So that's another shared effort. And it's been we joke about it a little bit because Ann Tate was the manager there for a long time. And, of course, Dan is, her husband is our director of facilities and maintenance. So, which is good. I mean, that was a really nice relationship to have outside of just the regular partnership that you might have, just because, you know, we help each other out a lot. Like, John does a lot of technology things to support what they do, because we're all kind of, you know, intermeshed. So, but I know Stacy's there now. Stacy, I was Fredrickson. Stacy,
mm-hmm.
What's her last name? Stacy Fredrickson. Anyway, is the manager now? there. So same thing, you know, we communicate with them too, because they share the space there in the middle school commons. You know, that's where the concessions are. So we just work together, partner.
All right. Well, tonight at the school board meeting, we will hear from them talking about any updates that they want to share about the Northern Nights Theater. And then another presentation by a student will be about esports, which is something I'm interested in learning about. I'm just the little bit that I looked up. It's kind of like a new kind of sport. It's not, you know, like a physical basketball type of sport, but it's online. It's like video game competitions, from what I'm understanding. Is that something that students, is it already established here, or is that something that they're interested in establishing or starting?
It started from kids expressing some interest about it. It's also because it has actually, it's becoming an actually recognized sport through AASA, which is our Alaska Sport, the Activities Association in the state. So it will, there are kids participating in it already in our community that we're not necessarily doing it as an organized school group. There are other schools in the state that are also moving into this realm. And so John, actually, my husband John, the tech director, we were trying to figure out the logistics of what it might look like. Do we have kids that might be interested? What might be concerns? You know, because again, it's one of those things that we all worry about, screen time. I mean, we do a lot of conversations ourselves of outreach with families and parents and kids about how much time we spend on screens and what that really looks like. So we wanted to be really, we're treading slowly into this because we want to do it well and right, and we want to make sure that we're not, we wanted to be clear about what it is. So it's not Fortnite. We will say that out loud because that's a, I mean, we actually have people asking those questions, you know, what kind of games are they?
It's a good question, though.
It is, absolutely. And so it is team-based. It's meant to, you know, help with the collaboration, with problem-solving, and they have to work together to do that. So the other part of it, though, is talking about what that looks like, healthy amount of time spent doing that. There's actually exercise and activities that groups are doing with their kids when they're doing this, like every time, you know, you might be on there for, you know, 20 minutes at a time. Everybody's going to get up. We're going to, you know, they're trying to intersperse it with physical activity too, because what that looks like in reality is we all can get sucked into things for too long. And so helping kids establish some habits, you know, in that way. So we've got several kids who are very excited about it. And it's an opportunity for some kids maybe who don't, who might be interested in trying something new and different. And also just sometimes there's kids that aren't necessarily interested in participating in a traditional activity, you know, like a volleyball or you know, track or something like that. And we certainly still encourage them to be involved in those activities. But there, you know, we do have some kids that just aren't, and they, this is something that they're really, you know, passionate about. So we felt like rather than pretending that this world doesn't exist out there, we wanted to be part of working with our kids and doing it together. And ASA is, you know, exploring it as well. Kind of like NOSB, like Tsunami Bowl, you know, that's another one of those sort of activities that might reach a different population of kids.
It's sports-like.
It's still sports-like. It's a competition.
It's a team and team building and working together with others and those kinds of skills.
Absolutely.
And like you said, I can see both sides. I could see the controversy because, you know, as a school, you're educating, and there was the presentation, was it last year, about screen time?
Yep, screenagers.
And so you're teaching, you know, parents, like, limit screen time. It's there can be too much, but then also recognizing that not all students are the same. And then if it's in the school, maybe it would be more of a controlled environment if students are already doing it, like you said. I know there's online competitions and things happening.
There are. And I think the other thing, too, that's important about this whole world is just also realizing that the opportunities for life beyond high school. So that is the fastest growing area for potential employment for our kids, too. So that's, and again, it's not just stuck behind a computer screen somewhere, but that whole, the whole world of coding and what that really looks like for people, what the job market looks like, it's just skyrocketing. I mean, it's, you know, we would not be doing our job either if we're not helping kids understand what opportunities are out there. So if we can be in charge of sort of helping to be in front of it rather than, you know, maybe having, we're not encouraging kids to stay up 12 hours at night doing this, how do we help craft that and, you know, work on ways to find balance, you know, with it while also acknowledging that there are a lot of opportunities for, you know, for our kids moving out there that might, they might even be able to participate in these things right out of high school or very soon after with even things they're getting from, you know, just from high school. So it's pretty exciting. It's mm-hmm. pretty exciting. And Jack Beyer is going to be doing the bulk of the presentation, I believe, tonight. And so he'll, and he is very excited about this. And he is, has done a lot of research and it's, yeah, he's even, he's working with some of the younger kids. There's some robotics kids in our middle school. We have a pretty excited group of kids there that's actually grown to, I want to say like 20 kids that are interested in that. And that's, again, that's a problem-solving, collaborative opportunity for our kids that's, it's pretty exciting. I mean, it's pretty exciting to see, you know, they're not just sitting off in a corner. They're working together. They're talking. They're solving, you know, what's going on with this? Why is it working that way? Well, let's try this. And it's that whole coding kind of, how do you get things to turn right and move at a 90-degree angle and all the math that's involved in that and, you know, all those kinds of things. So it's pretty exciting.
When you mentioned a game, was it called Fortnite or something?
Fortnite.
I'm unfamiliar with that. is that like a bad game? That...
I don't know. I do let my 11-year-old play, but it's you just you have to set some parameters. But it is you could argue it's team building where you're working together to fight off an attack together and you're talking. I mean, it started out even my son talking to my cousin's child in Pennsylvania and the two of them playing and being able to converse and talk to each other. So you have groups here in Petersburg that are playing each, you know, with each other and they're talking. It can, you know, I think it can spiral into some dangerous stuff, just like any video game that you're playing online and you're interacting with people that you may or may not know. Even if you have the requirement, like we have in our house, it has to be someone you can walk up to and look in the face on a daily basis, unless it's like a cousin across the country. But right. It doesn't mean that always stays friendly. So it's still, you know, can be a, I don't know. I know a lot of families that play it. You know, the parents play it with the kids, but it is not something I would say it's for a grade school. I mean, he's in fifth grade, so that to me, it's pushing maybe the envelope on me personally. But I wouldn't want to see my kid any younger than that playing it, just because it is a battleground.
It's like a war game or something.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not like some of the ones that you've seen where you're. It's the graphics are what you'd see in an R-rated movie. It cuts away pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was wondering about the.
But I wouldn't let my first grader.
You know what? There's probably. I actually don't know very much about video games, but a variety of different kinds out there.
Yeah, there are. And a lot of them, even the ones that people have concerns about, do have that strategy building component. And so it really is trying to find the balance. I mean, we keep coming back to that. And I think that's a big part of the conversations we've had with families over the years and talking about having real conversations with your kids, because the fact is, this is the world that we're in, and our kids are really in it. And so, I guess, I don't, for lack of a better way of putting it, pretending that it's not a possibility out there is not helpful. It's not helpful to our kids, and we may have our own, even personally, have our own philosophical, you know, issues or concerns. Like, I'm not a gamer either, and actually John really isn't a gamer, but he can... We have to be able to see the value in what kids could gain from it while also acknowledging that there's some things that we would have concerns about. So I think having those very real conversations with kids, whether it's you as a parent or us at school, is important, you know, because it's there. Like, well, how long did you spend on that last night? And did you find yourself being sucked in for 6 hours? Well, are you getting enough sleep? And I see black circles under your eye. You know, I mean, what's really happening? And we're having those conversations, whether we're sort of embracing trying to work with it or not, because sometimes kids are doing things that their parents don't know.
I was going to say, so it's better to know than not know, better to be informed than not.
I think so. We think so. I mean, just even as parents and certainly as a school, we want to, that's the place for it. You know, how do we figure out how to navigate this world without... we don't want to pretend that things aren't aren't out there and aren't possibilities, and try to help kids learn how to maybe monitor and manage it. Yeah, you know, themselves too, and understand that there's lots more to do. You know, that could be one part of your world, but, you know, also, have you considered, let's all do this for a while, and then let's all go out and take a mile-long walk, or, you know, I mean, really having conversations with kids about that. I mean, even carpal tunnel and all kinds, you know, that's a very real thing if you have kids that are really into that. So talking about all those potential health risks too, or whatever the research is about too much time sitting, right? Isn't that one of the latest research things out there, right? That it's almost as bad as smoking a pack a day. I don't know. I heard something the other day about that, and I was like, oh, gosh.
All of us with office jobs.
Sitting behind, at the radio station, in the office. So, you know, just I think continuing to, just like the screenagers conversations that we had last year, it's that same world. And you know, I would say, even since that last year, and I think just the research that keeps coming out for families, I do feel like people, from what we're seeing even at school, people are doing, parents, people, community, I don't know, are really having more conversations and really are being more engaged with their kids on this whole topic. People are getting more of the apps on their phones and shutting things off as a family together. You know, let's instill some of these things, you know, the device-free dinners and, you know, community charging state. I mean, it's all part of that world. How do we manage it without just pretending that it's not there, but without also having it take over our lives, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we will hear a teenager's perspective, I guess, tonight at the meeting, when that presentation on esports happens. Anything else about the meeting, the school board meeting tonight, that you think listeners might be interested in that I haven't talked about?
Let's see.
There doesn't seem to be much.
No, we're getting ready to, I guess we're going to work on talking about whether people want me to keep doing this job longer than this, and at some point having a work session.
The superintendent contract.
Yeah, and not tonight, but I mean, anyway.
And I'm going to report on, I was able to go up with a few staff members to Anchorage to the School Board Safety Summit, and it was very interesting, and I think what I took away most, I mean, a bunch of things from it, but what struck me as interesting is what adults view as school safety and what students feel as school, school safety, and they're different.
How so?
Well, adults, we see it as locks and, you know, bulletproof this, bulletproof that, you know, metal detectors, how do we keep our students safe? And students were all about connection, having an adult that I trust, students that I trust, coming to school and being happy at seeing, you know, other students and feeling that made them feel safe, not the lock on the front door. That didn't even occur to this group that we had a panel of students, and it was over and over again was how they connected to their school and felt safe. What had everything to do with the connection they had with adults and other staff or other teachers, or adults and other students. That if they felt like there was a
connected,
you know, someone behind their back, keep, you know, encouraging them, they felt safe to come to a school. And they had a panel of six kids, and it was, you know, had one from Southeast Alaska, one from the Anchorage area, two from Western Alaska. Mm-hmm. So it was not just Anchorage or just Juneau or whatever. It were, you could argue, you know, very different schools.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was kind of fascinating.
That is interesting that there would be different perspectives that way on what safety means.
Yeah, and because I think in some ways maybe it's they're not thinking about structure safety,
right?
You know, infrastructure safety. They're thinking of how do I feel when I go to school? And if I feel lonely or nervous or scared because I don't know anybody or because someone's going to be mean to me and bullying me, then that's where they don't feel safe. They perceive that as unsafe versus maybe, you know, the three of us as parents and an educator, that it's like, who's walking in that back door? And make sure that one's locked, make everybody go through the front door, those kind of things. Just a different view.
So then is it the schools, you know, across the state's responsibility to kind of address both of those?
Kind of. I mean, it's you do the best you can. Because sometimes it's like you've got those kids for 6 hours, but if they had the most atrocious night of their life because their home life is a mess and they come to school, there's only so much the school district can do to make them feel safe, but maybe it's something as simple as, good morning, I am so happy you're here.
Yeah.
Can completely make a change. And that's what we also heard from the students was, is just even that morning greeting. Mm-hmm. And that connection with their teacher, or, you know, someone in the lunchroom that they're eating early morning breakfast, or, you know, the janitor that always says hi to them every single time they see them, that yeah. it's just even that those that they feel like they're welcome there, even if at home is a complete train wreck. So,
yeah. Wow, so easy to forget those small little details that,
yeah, that we don't
really make all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we heard from, you know, a couple of the kids that were just, I didn't want to come to school at all. And then one of them in particular said, my principal said, you can do this. And, yeah. you know, every morning, and she says, and now she's a freshman at college. You know, she graduated, and she, in eighth grade, she was ready to drop out, you know, and not continue. So it's can mean the difference. It didn't have anything to do with what lock was mm-hmm. on the door or yeah. what security protocols her school district had. It had to do with
and
that
I
connection.
Do think that is so true. I think that's one of the things we do talk about. It's one of the philosophical conversations we have as educators a lot in this particular district, and then I've had it in other meetings and summits, just like Sarah's saying, where it's such a conflict for those of us that are, you know, we got into the business because we love children, we enjoy children, we want to teach and expand and be part of watching them grow. And it is very, that's a very big dichotomy with talking about door locks and protocols for active shooters. You know, that's not why I went to school. And that's why most educators I know, that's not what they went to school for either. So it's we struggle with that a lot because we do value those relationships and that communication and connection more. And so, but you still have to have these other, unfortunately, these other infrastructure logistical conversations, which are really not why we went to school. It's not why most of us got into education. It just isn't. So it's we all struggle. Mm-hmm. I think with that and as school board members and parents, I think too, we all, you know we have to have that part of the conversation, but we just know that that other piece, and every time we do like the School Climate Connectedness Survey or the youth risk behavior, those are the types of questions they ask. And we do, our kids do feel safe here, not 100%. And of course you'd love 100%, but they will overwhelmingly talk, you know, they'll ask questions like that. Do you have at least one other adult, you know, in your life at school that you feel is a trusted, you know, comfortable adult for you? And I think our percentage was over 70%. That's in the high school. And that's high. I mean, that's a high percentage for, you know, for teenagers. You know, they don't necessarily want to always acknowledge that, but they do, it does make a difference. And like Sarah said, it may not be the teacher. It may be one of our fabulous paraprofessionals. It may be the first food service worker they see in the morning, or the bus driver. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hoopy has had countless relationships with kids over the years that have just been super positive, and that's maybe the first person they see, kids see, and she's smiling and welcome on the bus, and mm-hmm. you know, happy yeah. to see you. So
yeah,
can't underestimate it. I guess
it was just interesting to
very
see
yeah.
how
well,
different that was.
Thank you for going up there.
Yeah,
and,
it was
learning what other people are doing in the state, and
yeah,
kind of seeing the. Things are, people are doing what they're supposed to hear
yeah.
at the schools and
yeah.
teachers and
yeah, connections.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for joining me today for Campus Connection. Yeah. Again, the school board meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. in the high school library. KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting live.